Chapter 4. John chapter 4, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou would have asked him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou this or that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us this well and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go call thy husband, and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidst thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples, and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot, and went her way into the city, and saith to the men, Come see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city, and came unto him. In the meanwhile his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, There are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to the harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal. that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, now we believe not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Now after 2 days he departed thence and went into Galilee, for Jesus himself testified that a prophet hath no honor in his own country. And when he was come into Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things that he did at Jerusalem at the feast, for they also went unto the feast. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine, and there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. The nobleman saith unto him, sir, come down, ere my child die. Jesus saith unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend, and they said unto him, yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house. This is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. All right, so we have the famous interaction here in John chapter 4 between Christ and the woman of Samaria, the adulterous woman of Samaria. So, first of all, we remember that Jesus is now on his way to Galilee, so he's traveling northward from Jerusalem, and he's passing through Samaria to get to Galilee. Okay, so that's the first thing that this encounter here of the woman at the well, Jesus wasn't planning on any ministry in Samaria. He was simply passing through there. Yet, Jesus was also careful to take every advantage that came his way with regard to spreading the gospel of the kingdom. So we have the good example of Christ here in his discussion, not simply, it's the middle of the day, I'm hot, can I have a drink of water, please? But expanding that most mundane of human needs, the need for water, into a greater discussion on spiritual life. And so we see where Christ's mind is here. His mind is on spiritual things, although not denying or ignoring temporal things. So let's take that as an example for ourselves, that even though involved in the temporal things of this world, that we are also very much concerned with, primarily concerned with the spiritual realities that we deal with on a daily basis. Okay, so we find out here that Jesus himself was not the one who was baptizing, but his disciples only were baptizing. Then here we are at the well. It is Jacob's well. Jacob is the one that dug it. And when the woman talks to him about it, you can tell that she is steeped in Samaritan tradition. Oh, well, this is a very special well, don't you know? This is the well that Jacob dug, and in that he dug it and drank from it himself, and he gave water to his animals from here. This is a real point of Samaritan history. This is really important. Well, Jesus is unimpressed with all of that. He has something more in mind, and that is preaching the truth of the gospel of his kingdom, not only to this woman, but through her to the rest of the Samaritans. Samaritans have no dealings with Jews, but they did with Jesus that day. He was not concerned to turn away from them simply because they were Samaritans. They are a people group that need to hear the word of the Lord. And so Christ stops there and begins this conversation with the woman. So the conversation goes on innocently enough. Christ asks her politely for water. The politeness here seems backward to us. But when if he actually drew water from the well himself, that would have been seen as impolite. So he asks her to draw water for him because she's of that area, and she has come to draw water for her own needs. So she's incredulous. She asks him, how is it that you're dealing with me, a Samaritan and a woman? But then Christ immediately turns the discussion towards spiritual things. If you knew who you were talking to, he says, you would have asked of him and he would have given you living water. And like Nicodemus, she's caught in temporal mode for a moment here, right? You have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. From where do you have this living water? And then we hear her traditional take on the well and why it's so important. But then Christ brings her back to reality with, you'll drink out of this well today and you'll have to come back and drink again tomorrow. But I can give you water that will, as it says in this next verse, a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Now, Jesus has mentioned, in that he mentioned everlasting life, he has turned the conversation to spiritual things. However, note what the woman does with that. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Is she being sarcastic? Is she being dismissive? Or is she just simply still in temporal mode? Seems that she's still in temporal mode. And beloved, sometimes, let's just admit it, each of us, sometimes we're just thick like that. We're slow to put our minds in that proper mindset of hearing things from that spiritual perspective. So then, Christ calls her to go and call her husband, calls upon her to do that. And she says, obviously, I have no husband, right? So here we have this conversation. It has been turned to spiritual things. Christ has been pushed back on this. And so Christ, undaunted, moves forward and says, go call your husband. It's obvious from his answer that he already knows her marital status, her past and her present, both. And he knows this supernaturally because he is the Son of God. It has been supernaturally revealed to him by the Spirit of God. And he says, you've had five husbands, and the one that you have now is not your husband. And in that you said truly. Yeah, you haven't married him, have you? You're just keeping house. So now the woman, backed into a corner, cannot avoid the spiritual dimension of the discussion. But notice that Christ did not let her off the hook when she first gave her temporal answer. But Christ kept pursuing until she would have no choice but to respond with some sort of spiritual awareness. And this is his kindness, and this is his genius. And when we talk to people, beloved, think of this conversation often, especially for our unbelieving friends and neighbors that need and ought to talk about spiritual things. All right, so then she says, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Okay, so he's a prophet, but he's dressed like a Jew, not a Samaritan. So she immediately then throws up her denominational wall. Right? Our fathers worship in this mountain. Your fathers worship down there in Jerusalem, and never the twain shall meet. You can keep your religion, let me keep mine. You don't need to press me about my five husbands and the one I have now. You're from Jerusalem. You have no dealings, no jurisdiction here. That's essentially what she's saying to him. Well, Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when neither in this mountain, nor yet at Jerusalem will worship the Father. But know this, you worship what you know not. We know what we worship. Salvation is of the Jews. And here what Jesus does is he shows that the religion that they had developed in Samaria was an illegitimate religion. That they had left the reservation, as we say today. They had left proper teaching, proper doctrine. Jerusalem is the place that men ought to worship. The northern kingdom had a perverse religion centered in Samaria, and that was not the place of worship. God commanded his people to worship him from Jerusalem. And so because they had turned that on its head and worshiped in Samaria instead, Christ says to her, "You Samaritans worship you know not what. You think you're worshiping the true God, but you don't know what you're doing and you don't know who it is that you worship. You think that you can worship him anywhere you please, and that's not who he is. You think you can worship him any way you please, and that's not who he is. You worship you know not what." So Christ does not back off of the regulative principle, but in that day, the regulative principle demanded Jerusalem worship. And so she is condemned, and the Samaritans are condemned for their false worship. All right, so then in verse 23 and 24, that famous passage of scripture that's used by all who understand that there is indeed regulation to the worship of God. "The hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." So he has told her that the hour is coming, and he's talking about the days of Messiah and the coming of the kingdom of God. The hour is coming where the religion of the true God will no longer be tied to a single place. People are going to worship God everywhere, and they're going to worship him in spirit and in truth. And depending on which theologian you read, in spirit pertains to according to the commands of God in Scripture, and in truth with sincerity of heart. Some scholars actually turn that around. In spirit, that is, with the human spirit being sincere in its worship, and then in truth, according to the truth of God's word. Same two tenets, just reversed. But it's the same two things. What do we want in worship, beloved? We want to worship according to the truth of God's word with a form that God has ordained. And secondly, we want our hearts to rise up in sincerity and truth to that form. We live in an age where it doesn't really matter what the form is as long as you're sincere. And we hear that from time to time. But beloved, the sincerity of heart will always manifest it in a hearing of God and his commands, such that we will not say sincerity means it's just up to me how I worship. We will say instead sincerity means I'm going to look in God's word to see how I ought to worship him. Because sincerity means we want a good form as well as a good heart. That's what it means. Okay, so that takes us down then through that section in verse 25. Then in verse 25, the woman says, "Well, you know, we're going to stand here and argue about this all day. I know when Messiah comes, he's going to square it up. We'll know then." What you and I say here today at the well of Jacob doesn't matter much. Messiah, he's the one who's going to judge it. And that's when Christ says, "Well, I'm the Messiah." Okay, so that dialogue ends right there. The last word of that dialogue is Christ says, "I am that Messiah. The one whom you speak of is me. I'm he." Immediately then, his disciples come and they marvel that he's talking with her. And there's a verse here that's often overlooked, or a little phrase in verse 28. And I think it's really where the entire chapter hinges. It says, "The woman left her water pot." She did what? She left her water pot. What does that mean? Well, I think it's much more meaningful than most people give it credit to be. I think what it means is, here she came to get water, but instead, She left with living water, and she left that water pot behind. Whatever it was that she went there to do, she was completely redirected by Christ. And she goes into town and becomes kind of an unofficial evangelist for him, even to her own hurt, to her own detriment. Come meet a man who told me everything I ever did. She must have had a notorious reputation because all kinds of Samaritans came out to meet Christ after that. It doesn't appear that Christ had a design for the salvation of Samaritans, but he did. It didn't appear that Christ would sit down at a well on the well's edge and wait for a woman to come along, an adulterous woman, that he might talk to about the kingdom of God and talk to her about living water, but he did. And that hardened lady that had five husbands and now was in an unmarried relationship with another man, the hardness of heart that would have been required in that day, no one would have thought that she would turn to Christ, but she left her water pot. So in the most unlikely of circumstances, the Lord erects a beachhead, if you will, in Samaria, whereas all the Samaritans come out and they have a two-step process, much like the process we'll see in the miracle that follows. Sometimes when we hear things, we don't believe them at first, but then they are confirmed to us. But we may act the part of believing them. The Samaritans heard the woman speak and they said, well, let's go see this guy. And then they went out and heard him themselves and were converted to Christ. Now we believe not because of your word, but because we have heard him ourselves. This is indeed the Messiah. And one final point in this opening dialogue. The Samaritans traditionally, in the heat of the day, wore these whitish robes. Because they reflected the heat, they were cooler. And so Leon Morris, in his able commentary on the Gospel of John, will see in this a kind of picture. And so here they are at the well of Sychar, and Samaria just a little bit in the background there. And so then here come the Samaritans flooding out to see Christ, all dressed in their white robes. And Jesus speaking to his disciples, and he says, do you see? The fields are white for the harvest. Well, I don't know if that's true or not. The passage doesn't indicate that in a dogmatic way. But it is an interesting thing to think about that Christ would talk about those fields that are ripe for harvest. They're white already for harvest. Lift up your eyes, he said. He that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto eternal life, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. I think what he's telling them is, I have started this labor, and it is now yours to finish. What an amazing passage. So the Samaritans testify then that they believe Christ now, and not just the woman, not just because of thy saying, but we have heard him ourselves. All right, so then the final vignette here is he, after 2 days of staying with them and teaching them and setting that tone and that trajectory for his disciples, now he goes farther into Galilee, farther north, and there a nobleman meets him, and he goes to Cana, and that nobleman meets him, and notice the urgency of his request. When he, that is this nobleman, heard that Jesus was come, he went to him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Notice that Christ's response to him is designed to draw him out even further. And so what did Christ say to him? Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. The nobleman saith unto him, Sir, come down ere my child die. In other words, there's this second wave of urgency there. And so the Lord simply tells him, go your way, your child lives.
Well,
it says that he believed that and he went his way. Just like in the former story, they believed the woman and they went their way to Christ. Just in that same sort of parallel way. And now here, he believes Jesus and he heads toward home thinking that his son will be healed. And while he's on the way there, what happens? His servants come out to meet him, and he inquires at the hour when his son amended, when the fever left him. And it was the same time the day before when he and Christ spoke. And so we hear now the father knew it was that same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house. There was a grand increase to his faith such that it infected the rest of his house. And so we have one more instance of a whole house coming to the Lord. And then John will tell us that this is the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. Let's stand and call upon the Lord in prayer.